Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
It's time for a debate so that he can explain to the American people his highly destructive open border policy, new and ridiculous EV mandates, the allowance of crushing inflation, high taxes, and his really weak foreign policy, which is allowing the world to catch on fire. I am ready and willing to debate Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September. I would recommend strongly more than two debates and, for excitement purposes, a very large venue, although Biden is supposedly afraid of crowds. That's only because he doesn't get them. Just tell me when and I'll be there. Welcome back, America. Cicely here for another episode of The Savage Truth. A pleasure to host you yet again. That was the post from the former number 45 and, in a half a year, the presumptive number 47, Donald J. Trump, who I will be seeing for the Lincoln-Reagan dinner here in Minneapolis tonight. Thank you very much. So excited. Got me a good table, too. VIP, sitting close. Okay, sitting very, very close. Before we get too into things, because I already gave you an indication of where I'm headed here on this episode, I have to do it. It's my nature. I was raised right, okay? Thank you for tuning in to the show. It is absolutely growing. I thank you so much again for that support. The audience is awesome. For those of you who are new, welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I have an ask in the beginning and the end, and it's always the same. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and YouTube. So I spent some time in the comments on YouTube and promised some people I would call them out for supporting and viewing the show. These are some new people, so I want to give some shout outs to some people because I said I would. I'm watching the comments, you guys. I'm going in back in there. I'm responding back to you. So thank you for that interaction. It really feeds me. So shout out to Haterproof ISQ. I see you. Shout out to Becky Jeffers 4260. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to Mary Sylvie 2012. I appreciate your support and your commentary. And shout out to Frederick 59. Thank you so much. You've been there since the very beginning, Frederick 59. Thank you so much. I just want you to know that I've noticed. And shout out to Dirk Pitt the Great 4559. Thank you so very much for taking the time, carving out time in your life to tune in. I appreciate the show. Appreciate your support. And to many, many more. I'll keep this up, to keep doing this. Truly appreciate you taking the time to spend time with me and view and listen in. Grateful, truly, truly humble, truly grateful. Now let's get it going. Truth cannot and it must not die. And it certainly won't with this show. So some have commented on the look of the show. Thanks for that. Just so you know, I thought it would provide some visuals that are simply American. Sometimes they're a little quirky, like the one today that's more relative to the show. But I always just thought, you know what? People tend to have the same view every week where you can see into their studio or see their background. I just wanted to switch up the visuals, kind of keep the stimulus going. Different views of this great country of ours just so that you can have a view of our beautiful landscape and the people. And hopefully you tune in just to see what the next background is going to look like. Yes, I started the episode out right away today, as you heard from me quoting the post from former Donald Trump on Truth Social. He stated on Fox Digital the following, quote, Crooked Joe Biden is the worst debater I have ever faced. He can't put two sentences together. This is what he told Trump Fox Digital. He also went on to say, Crooked Joe is also the worst president in the history of the United States by far. Trump also told Fox Digital that, quote, it's time for a debate to take place, even if it has to be held through the offices of the Commission on Presidential Debates, which are totally controlled by Democrats and who, as people remember, got caught cheating with me with debate sound levels. Their mic was going in and out. They were messing with them, you know. Now, Trump encouraged Biden to meet him on the debate stage after Biden told Howard Stern he would debate. This will supposedly happen way earlier than voters are accustomed to seeing. We have two proposed dates as of now, June 27th, and that being 131 days before election, and September 10th, which is 56 days before election. Also, to note that this June debate is before either candidate is officiated as their party's nominee. Okay, so we got a really early debate date going on here. CNN is hosting the first debate. Jake Tapper, anchor of CNN's The Lead and State of the Union, and Dana Bash, anchor of Inside Politics in the State of the Union, were announced as the moderators. Both Trump and Biden have already and more than qualified to participate, but apparently RFK has not. He apparently has yet to meet the polling threshold, apparently. The standard, I believe, is 15% in four different national surveys, and apparently he has not done that. And I guess it kind of dips, and he hasn't quite hit 15%. Robert F. K. Jr. feels a certain kind of way about this, and he posted, he's very upset. They're trying to exclude me from the debates because they're afraid I would win. Keeping viable candidates off the debate stage undermines democracy. Now, I mean, hear me out on this. I have no qualms against RFK. I think he wavers on certain issues, but honestly, altogether, I don't have any qualms about him. But the likelihood that even if he were to participate and win, now that's a big, big, big if, okay, he wins. I mean, and whatever win means, right? Because this is all by way of opinion. I mean, he would beat Biden. Certainly. That's not hard to do. Okay, I can call my dog in to beat Biden. I mean, the debate, honestly, is already over. But not Trump. He wouldn't beat Trump. Even if he pulled out an opinion of a win, it wouldn't sway people to go towards the independent party enough to take over this presidency. Let's not be confused about that. Donald Trump absolutely has the momentum. He is the favored presumptive president of November 5th in the United States of America presidential election 2024. Now, Trump has the momentum. He has the backing. He has the record of success as a president. In fact, he has incumbent status right now. Not a challenging status. Donald Trump is literally, because of the crowds he draws and because of the popularity and the overwhelming polls, he has incumbent status, not challenging status. That's the reality of the presidential race right now. And his popularity and his favor with the American people continues to grow. It is swelling by tangent, okay? So Vivek Ramaswamy had an interesting theory I want to run by you all, something to think about and discuss a little bit. And hear me out on this. Vivek Ramaswamy was asked about the timing of Biden's sudden challenge to debate. Now, for the record, because you know we keep it truthful here on The Savage Truth, because it's savage. Truth is savage around here. Being savage, really important that we do that. Trump challenged Biden to debates. Okay, Trump is the one that called Biden out incessantly, constantly, relentlessly. He's the one who called Biden out first, to which Biden actually avoided. Let's be clear and savagely truthful about that. But Vivek's theory was really interesting to me. See what you think about this, folks. Tell me. Matter of fact, leave some comments in the show about this. So his theory is that CNN will host, prop him up, and make him look good as they possibly can. I mean, you know what? Let's not underestimate Joe Biden, and let's not underestimate that side. They can, in spite of his senility and his obvious, you know, cognitive decline, they're able to prop him enough up for a good 2-3 hours and make him look somewhat energetic and viable. They are able to do that. Give him a lot of leeway. They'll help him look as best they possibly can, basically presenting Biden and his team an opportunity to show himself able, capable. But knowing he has such a mountain of bad policies and failures and scandals and lies to defend, like the most recent, that the inflation was at 9% when he took over in office. What? When every clown, baboon, and donkey in the circus, let alone the American people, real consumers, real actual consumers, know and remember that it was at what? 1.4% when he took office. Why? Because they could afford groceries at that time. They could afford gas. They could put money aside for savings. They were able to go on trips. They were able to buy houses. They were 20 and 30 year olds who could live and afford to be on their own and not have to ask or live with two or three other roommates to pay rent. Employers were confident to give raises and bonuses and promotions. Energy companies were drilling and felt good about the efficient oil production methods and the fact that we were oil independent here in America. Everybody had a job because those groups who Dems like to call underserved, they were working, right? They got up and they went to work every morning at an all-time high. You all know this. You remember, of course. Of course you do. But Biden has so much to answer for that Dems figure, if, according to Ramaswamy's theory, if he can't answer and completely bombs the debate in June, that they have time to put up another candidate before September. Wow. What do you think about that? I'd love to hear your comments and what you think. Kind of let that marinate a little bit and see what you think. Now, listen, I think it's interesting. I still believe that Joe will be the nominee because there are some on the Democrat side that understand that perhaps the Democrat voting bloc that voted for Biden in the last election have developed confidence that only Joe Biden can beat Donald Trump. Okay, they just believe that. And they think it's risky to try to put someone else because apparently Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. Okay, I think the far left, the true communists, socialists and Marxists of the party want someone else. They want someone more extreme and have no confidence in Biden with all his baggage, with Hunter and the senility and the cognitive issues, the fact that he can't walk across the lawn or walk up some steps without help, and all the tallied, undeniable follies adding up to only put winning pegs on the Trump side of the board. What do you think? Now, let me say this really quick. This is my commentary. In my opinion, this debate is over, okay? The issues are already settled. This is about showing up and performing. And again, just like the State of the Union address, as long as Biden is able to get through this and not stumble, right, and not make too much of a gaffe, they're going to consider that a win. But I stand by my word, however. I have to. I don't believe there will be debate until I literally see the broadcasting it when they actually broadcast it on June 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then I'll believe it. But I can't admit, having a date makes it more believable for me. We shall see. I look forward to when, and if it does happen, for Biden to explain Hunter's problems, how he'll cover that 9% inflation lie, how he'll talk about the border, student debt, this economy and lawfare. I don't even think he can carry the abortion issue well at this point, okay? Because he's trying to waver now a little bit to try to back up. So we shall see. Okay, moving on. So a clown and a donkey and a baboon go into a bar. And the donkey said to the baboon, Donald Trump has a bigger crowd than we do every night. Just kidding, folks. I know. Rick, do you like my visuals today?
Very good.
You like that? Yeah. You like that? You see the booty on this baboon back here? Okay. All right. This is what we're working with. I need people to have a visual. Well, this is a circus for sure. Okay. The whole cast, Stormy, Judge Marchand, Bragg, and of course the star baboon, Michael Cohen, who lied on the witness stand about Trump and the Stormy Daniels deal. As you know, earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday, Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, told the jury that it was former President Trump who planned and approved the arrangement to keep Stormy Daniels quiet. But now, you've all heard about it, a prominent New York lawyer says Cohen told him he did it, that Trump was not involved and did not even know about the payments to Stormy. Okay. He, meaning Cohen, did it. Okay. And that Trump had no idea about the payments to Stormy. So this attorney, Robert Costello, advised Cohen in 2018. Okay. So Michael Cohen had an advisor himself back then, right? He was facing all these charges. This all came out. He had an advisor named Robert Costello, and Costello advised him back in 2018 when Cohen was raided by the FBI. In testimony before a House Judiciary Subcommittee on Wednesday, which was Wednesday, May 15th, Costello said Cohen told him back then, quote, he, meaning Cohen, thought the story would be embarrassing for Trump and especially for Melania. So he decided he would take care of this himself. When asked if Trump had any knowledge of this, Cohen told me, no. Now, there was a clip of this Costello testifying to the Judiciary Subcommittee, and this was a key part of his testimony. And I quote, their target is Donald Trump. So I want you to think carefully now. I said, Michael, The way this works is if you have truthful information about Donald Trump, that's clearly what they're looking for, I can have all your legal problems solved by the end of the week. His response, I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump. Now, Costello is not a witness in the case. No surprise there. You know, the Dems, once they knew about his whole testimony, they completely excluded him as a witness. This was a testimony, like I said, on Capitol Hill, on testimony this past Wednesday. Trump's attorney, Blanche, did such a great job of cross-examination, exposing Cohen as the hateful, scorned advisor he is, asking him if he did lie to the jury. Cohen clearly seeking revenge on Trump. Now, Cohen admitted that he wants Trump to suffer. He absolutely said that emphatically. This whole revenge move is because Trump didn't take Cohen to the White House to be a part of his administration. That's the reason for all of the venom, all the hate, the revenge moves, the lies, the posts on social media, one after the other after the other. Now, listening to Fox News, the reporters who were in the courtroom actually reported that the jury members were shaking their heads during Cohen's disastrous testimony, right? They're recognizing that this guy's an absolute baboon on the witness stand, that Judge Mershon was actually shifting in his seat, watching how this was unfolding, clearly embarrassing for the entire prosecution. I have to agree with Donald Trump calling this case a joke. It's a circus, not of talented folks, but that odd, lame circus, you know, like the lady with the beard and the three breasts, right? The half man, half donkey, the man that's 3 feet tall with the six toes, or the chicken with the two heads running around clucking uncontrollably. It's that kind of circus, you guys. When speaking to reporters gathered in the hallway outside the courtroom, Trump said that he felt as he was stuck in an icebox, making reference to the trial that has prevented him from campaigning throughout the country on most weekdays in recent weeks. He also warned of potential conflict brewing from leaders in China and Russia. Trump's comments came as Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping met with one another at a Beijing summit on Thursday. He said, and I quote, I saw something today that's maybe worse than anything. President Xi of China, I know him very well. And President Putin of Russia, I know him very well. They're right now together, working together on plans where they get together and do damage. That's ultimately what they're thinking about doing, end of quote. He also commented that President Xi plans to, quote, fully take Taiwan while he's sitting here in an icebox. I'm sitting here listening to a case that people are saying should never have been brought. I've been sitting here almost 4 weeks and we still have a long way to go. Now, while Trump is in this dank, cold, depressing circus ring of a courtroom, criminals are running around wild on the streets, like the ones who attacked the police officers in Brooklyn and then gave the middle finger. I'm sorry, Manhattan. And then gave the middle finger when they were released, are getting a pass. You guys remember that? You remember those two police officers who were attacked by all those illegal aliens? They were being kicked and beaten and jumped on. Yeah, they're getting a pass. You see, Bragg could be out prosecuting and holding actual criminals accountable, but that alleged Soros money has him prosecuting Trump for what? What is the actual crime? I need someone to still, I'm still looking, I'm still waiting, as you all are, what the actual crime is. If the crime could actually be named, that would be great. I guess it's for wearing blue suits and wearing red ties.
And finally, we take a political break, sort of, to praise you all. You all, you for watching, the viewers, for making the Kansas City Chiefs jersey number 7 the most purchased and bought jersey of the NFL. Number 7, of course, belonging to Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I love a good faith story that whoops the pants off an evil agenda. So amid reaction to Harrison Butker's now viral commencement speech at Benedictine College on Saturday, the place kicker seems to have gained several new fans in the process. Whoop, whoop, loving it. Judeo-Christianity rules, and it always will. Hear me on this, savages. According to NFL.com, Butker's jersey sales are among the most popular online. Only Travis Kelce rated higher than Butker, with Mahomes coming in right behind the star, who's actually from Georgia Tech. It seems that Butker's comments on motherhood, COVID policies, and pride, among others, have sparked conversation across social media. And I quote, "While COVID has played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. The bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as growing support for the degenerate cultural values and media all stem from pervasiveness of disorder." Now, this is what I love to see and hear. This is about hope, folks. This is what a healthy society looks and sounds like. And I am specifically talking about his sentiment and his true fearlessness here. When I say be true, right, this is what I mean. This is what I'm talking about. Listen to this speech. Listen to this speech, ladies. And I'm gonna say this, I encourage you, find yourself a man that sounds like this, okay? When you find him, when you do, lock him down like the last pack of toilet paper in a 2020 supermarket, okay? Here's an excerpt that got everyone on the left all hot and bothered. And even Joy Behar, of course, on The View, said he had mother issues after hearing this speech, actually criticizing him, because he had impact. That's why. "For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on the stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I am beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in a band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, became my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker." Phenomenal speech. Some inappropriate tweets went out from the city, some members of the city of Kansas City, stating that Butker resides in a different municipality at 7:41 p.m., basically stating like, okay, he may be representing, he might be on this team, but he's not from this municipality. That was on 7:41 p.m. on Wednesday. By 8:15, that very same tweet had been deleted from the city's official account at Kansas City. After the tweet was deleted by the city, Mayor Quentin Lucas responded to a tweet asking why it was deleted. And his response was this, and I quote, "It was not an appropriate post for the city of Kansas City. It should have never been put up." Agreed. After Lucas called the tweet inappropriate, the city apologized with a typo. "We apologize for our previous tweet." And he posted that at 8:21. "It was shared in error." Okay, so now you know what they're saying behind his back, basically. Apparently, there were other tweets showing him in a kitchen, cooking, and mopping the floor. And I give praise to Butker and his speech for its authenticity, inspiring. This was an inspiring message and one that emphasized on the values that resonate deeply with graduates and the broader community. I mean, this was a Catholic school with a speech given by a Catholic man. He did not in any way tell the young female hopefuls to trade in their credentials for a barefoot and pregnant pursuit. His speech focus on perseverance, hard work, and staying true to oneself. His personal anecdotes about overcoming challenges in his professional career provided graduates with a tangible example of resilience and dedication. The message was especially uplifting for young adults transitioning into a complex and competitive world. Only a bunch of orange, blue, green, pink, purple-haired, and angry feminists and far-left Neanderthals took offense to a speech that emphasized the importance of maintaining one's values on integrity, even in the face of adversity. But loudmouth, pro-life, don't slut-shame me saps would find fault with anyone sharing his own experiences of staying grounded and prioritizing his principles. Encouraging graduates to prioritize their moral compass over short-term gains, which is a vital lesson for personal and professional development. By the way, in the real, normal world that we all live in, that's the sentiment. You would think they would be somewhat happy. Butker, all he did was underscore the significance of community and teamwork and the support system that help individuals succeed. This emphasis on interconnectedness and mutual support inspires graduates to value and build strong relationships in their personal and professional lives. But I guess if you still hold Colin Kaepernick up as a hero, Butker would be viewed as a chauvinist, as a racist, a privileged white patriarch. But he's not. Savage truth is, Harrison Butker is an honorable American. He's a real man, a real dad, and a successful NFL player. Butker serves as a role model for aspiring athletes. His speech not only motivated future professionals in sports, but also demonstrated that athletes can have a profound impact beyond their sport by engaging in public speaking and community involvement. This was a powerful blend of motivation, personal insight, and valuable life lessons, leaving a lasting positive impression on graduates and the wider audience. We saw that in those jersey sales, and that says to me that the heart of America still beats strong. So buy a jersey to support this, to support him, and whether you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan or not, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, be bold, be strong, be faithful, and unlike Michael Cohen, be true. I'm going to see Donald Trump tonight. So till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.